Well, Easter was last Sunday, so let's talk about death. I have led many a funerals in my days of being a pastor, and some of them have been wackier than others. And I remember this particular one that I did. It was in, it was chilly outside. Of course, it was in Michigan, so that feels like a majority of the year. But I remember we had completed the funeral. It was at the church, and so we were going to graveside. It's called the committal. So we're committing the physical body to its final resting place in the ground. Okay, so we're there at the graveside for the committal, and the funeral director, who was with us, kind of gives me the nod. It's always like I wait for the nod. When can I start? Okay, now I'm good to go. So I get the nod, and I start into my opening words, and all of a sudden I hear, "Ksh." This is no joke. And so that, I'm like, I know that sound. And so I pan around and I see, for sure enough, a guy standing over here, over about in that area, and he had popped a beer. And seriously, we're outside grace, so he pops a beer. And so he's drinking, and I was like, that's a first. Refocus. So we go through the finish up the committal, and you know, it doesn't take very long, and we get done. And so the family waits around until the casket is lowered into the ground. So as soon as it's lowered into the ground, the workers step away to kind of give the family a moment. And so one of the family members comes over, has a bottle, opens the top, and just pours whiskey all over the casket, you know. And this was not just for a friend. This was the matriarch of the family. And it wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I had some of the whiskey, and I just did not. It was trying to show honor, you know. It was the only way that, you know, the person knew how to do it, you know. It was just a way of just saying, you know, final rest in peace, if you will. And that was, by far, I think that's one of the wackiest funerals that I have been to. I mean, it was wacky at the funeral itself a little bit, and then graveside, I was like, I'm kind of not surprised that this even happened at all, right? But facing death is hard. Facing the grave is challenging. Facing a tomb is quite challenging. And when we think back to the story on Easter morning, it was the same thing. So, you know, who's the first one? Little Bible trivia, right? So who's the first one, as we understand, going to the tomb on Easter morning when it was still dark? You can look in John chapter 20 and tell you as well. But do we remember? Mary Magdalene. So Mary, she's going to the tomb in the morning. And she's going to a place that for her and in her culture is a place of burial. So it's a place where dead bodies are enclosed. And she knows what she would, she knows kind of what to expect of going to a tomb. And she even knows that, you know, when I get there, this is a visual reminder that life does have an ending point, right? Life has a finality to it. When she gets to that tomb, it's going to be a physical reminder that the dead are separated from the living. When a body is placed in a tomb, they had a shelf that would typically have been carved out of the stone. And so a little shelf enough that you could take a body that had been wrapped and you could lay that body on the shelf, and it would just sort of, it would lay there, and then it's wrapped, it decomposes over time. Hence, you know, they said, don't open the tomb. Like Lazarus was dead. Remember, like Lazarus? And like, it's kind of, don't do it, right? Kind of thing. But it, when that stone is rolled and it blocks off the tomb, it seals it off, and it keeps what is dead inside from being seen or engaging with what is living on the outside. Easter was last Sunday, and when that story began, I mean, we're talking empty tomb, and yet when that story began, it begins with heartache, and it begins with grief and sorrow and pain, anxiety, confusion. It's a hot mess, man. Like that morning is. That's the way the story starts. And John just lays right into it. He doesn't pull out like and just to say, let's make it all flowers and rainbows. He's like, no, lean into this because that's part of the reality that death occurred. A tomb was involved. So if you want to look at the story in John chapter 20 and follow along with me, you can. Or I'll just kind of recap some of that story this morning. So in the beginning, Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb. They said it was still dark. And she's going because she wants to prep, to i.e. anoint his body for its final burial. It's an act of, it's a custom, but it's also an act of love and devotion, doing for someone that you, is family, a friend you deeply care about. So when she's on her way, she and then one of the other gospels tells us that there's some other ladies with her, but they're going there and they're expecting to find the stone being in front of the tomb. And so they ask a very logical question. How in the world are we going to get the stone away from the tomb so that we can do what we've come to do? That's fair. They wondered how the stone that separates life from death could be rolled away. And when she arrives, she sees that the stone has already been rolled away. Let's deal with the death some more. I know you're so glad for this morning. But so when Mary gets there and she sees that, she's confused, and right, she's dealing with pain, and I don't understand. And so she runs back to Simon Peter and to John, and she tells them about what she had seen. And so here they come, and they're running, right? John even says that they're running to the tomb, and it's so funny. I just, in my head, because the way he tells the story, it's just like, you know, they're running, and the other's like, and then he passes in, and then he passes in, you know, and they're getting there, and one gets there, you know, gets there in advance, and they wanted to see for themselves. I want to see it to understand it. I want to see it to prove it. I want to know, and I want my eyes to tell me what I should know. Well, John says that guess who's coming up right behind him? Oh, it's Mary. And Mary gets to the tomb. Now, this is her second time of being at the tomb, apparently, as the story goes. And you got to imagine, right? So she's pain, it's confusion, she doesn't understand, and she's standing there, and she's just weeping. I mean, you probably can imagine like what it's like to weep something that hurts so bad. She's standing, she's weeping, and she's squatting down as she's crying, and she's looking into the tomb. And because it wouldn't have been very high, really off the ground, like she's looking into the tomb, and she sees what her brain can't comprehend, what her mind can't comprehend. And an angel asked her why she was crying. And she said, well, they've taken away my Lord. And then right after that, if you know the story, who's probably behind her or speaks to her? You might know who it is. Starts with a J. It's Jesus. Yes. You guys are on it today. and she thinks that he's the gardener. One way or another, she doesn't comprehend who he is. And so she says to him, tell us where you have laid him and I'll take him away. You got Mary and you've got Simon Peter and you have John, and they're going to the tomb, trying to make sense of something that has blown their mind, has broken their heart, has disappointed them, has caused their expectations to go unmet, put them into a place of fear about what the future is going to hold now that Jesus is not with them anymore. And all these promises that he had laid in front of them, is what they're seeing, it's hard to believe that these things are going to come to pass. Mary's even trying to fix the problem. If you're somewhat familiar with different stages of grieving, you look at this story and you see, like, really fast these different stages of grieving, right? There's like this confusion, there's this almost anger, there's bartering, you know, and there's like, hey, where's the end? Just tell him, like, I'll tell you, like, I can fix this. You just tell me, I can make this right. There's a lot of times we face tombs in our lives, and we don't get to make sense. We can't make sense of them, and we can't fix them. And no matter how hard you pray, and no matter how hard you work, and no matter how hard you wish it, and you try to do the right thing, you can't make the tomb stop hurting, and you can't make the tomb go away. The tomb is staring you right in front of your face. It's reality. And it's there. Tombs can come in all shapes and sizes in life, and each one's challenging to face. Some are harder than others. Sometimes it is because of the darkness of grief, sadness and pain. Sometimes anger. And you don't see how it can stop. Maybe it's the temptation to let your faith in Christ just sort of fall away. Perhaps because you're being tempted with a deceptive thought, which comes from the enemy, that God's not being fair to you, and therefore you should not trust in Him. Perhaps God is not compassionate because He hasn't been there for you. If God had been there for you, then you wouldn't be going through all of this. You're wasting your time praying, because can't you see that no matter how hard you pray, it's still right there. And it's not fixed. And it's not solved. And the hurt isn't going away. And it still looks dark. Why would you want to pray to a God who, if he says he's loving and good, doesn't take all of the tombs out of your lives? Why would you waste your time? I like how the enemy tends to only tell half the story. Half the story as though it's the whole story. But as Paul Harvey would say, and I don't have rights to this, but he used to say, and now the rest of the story. But only Paul Harvey's voice and the tone can make that right. It doesn't work for me. But always like it. So Mary goes expecting death, seeing what confuses her, what she doesn't get. She doesn't understand it. She can't make sense of it. They can't fix it. But then the story turns. Because who shows up? For one, is an angel. But who else shows up? It starts with a J. Jesus! Just treat it like it's Sunday school. If somebody asks you a question, Jesus? 50% of the time, you're going to be right. I don't know, I'm just kidding. But Mary goes to the tomb. Walk with me. Let's just go to the tomb. It's like, oh, we're going to go to the cross. Psych, we're going to the tomb. I love it. So Mary's at the tomb. And when she gets there, the stone is rolled away. Watch this. Mary comes to the tomb expecting death, but Mary experiences life. Mary comes to the tomb expecting the stone to be separating the dead from the living, but when she gets to the tomb, she finds that the stone is rolled away, and the barrier between death and life has been rolled away. That just gave me tingles, just even saying that. She comes to the tomb in a place of confusion and deep hurt and deep pain, expecting that she's just going to find more of that. And when this John 20, when that chapter rolls, continues on, Jesus meets her where she's at. What are you looking for? My question for you is, when you're facing your tomb, what are you looking for? Jesus is alive. And he says, you're looking at half the story, but I'm telling you, there's a whole other half. Where you see death, I've brought life. Where you see a barrier, I've already removed the barrier. Where you see despair and darkness, I've brought hope and light. Where you see an inability to make sense of it, I'm here as the living truth in your presence. You don't have to understand it all, but you do need to be able to stand with faith in it all. Where you are weak and all you know to do is cry. Can I invite you to listen? Mary. Jesus said to Mary. He calls her name. He calls your name. I know you by your name. Let's connect the dots just to make sure. Drive it home, right? Walk with me. I know your name. I know your name. When he hung here on this cross, he knew you. On Good Friday, a good, good Father and a good, good Savior knew you. And we'll mall walk. And on Easter Sunday, the risen Lord knew you. I know you can't make sense and fix all of the tomb-like experiences that face you in life. That's just life in a broken world of sin. You're going to face them. And the tombs that you face are challenging. And they're going to continue to be challenging. That's the way life is, folks. I tell you, your story is not finished. Even if you feel like it is. You notice I said feel. Because oftentimes the things that we feel, we want to take as fact. But often what you feel is not the fact. It's just what you feel. Jesus felt the pain of crucifixion. But the fact he brought was, I have overcome the grave. You will hurt and suffer. You live in a broken world. I'm not going to keep that from being your life experience. But you got to know that even though you do, there is more. There's a second half to the story. God wins, period. And it's through your salvation that you get to win in Him. And it may not feel like today, because the promise of victory is at the consummation of all things. That's at the return of Christ. That's at glory. That's when you ultimately win, right? That's what you're holding on to. And if you hold on to that, then you can go through the tomb-like experiences and go, but I'm not done and neither is God, so I'm holding on. I trust Him. He can give me life for death and light for darkness. He can give me forgiveness for condemnation. He can give communion for separation. He can give truth for confusion. And he can give hope for heartbreak. And he can give a mission where there seems to be meaninglessness. His gifts are wonderful. My question for us, as I've often asked before, is like, if he is so good and he's done so much good from the cross to the empty grave, what is our response? This is something that the Apostle Paul often asks in his epistles. Because of Jesus, how will you respond? What will your act of faith, your life of faith, then say about what you believe? What can help you to trust and follow Jesus, knowing that both parts are the whole story? Well, I had an idea I thought I would share today. And I want to call it stick to the basics. Stick to the basics. This isn't meant to be hard. How many of you have a Bible on you today, either your phone or the book? Okay, how many of you possess one, even if you don't have it on you today? There we go, fantastic. Read that baby. Read your Bible with a regular rhythm. Okay, have that rhythm. Why do I point you to Scripture? The whole of Scripture, from the Old Testament all the way through the New, is pointing to the coming, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus being the Messiah, the Christ. The whole thing's pointing to him. And the very thing in our struggles and hurts and the tomb-like experiences that we need to be reminded of is that there is a truth in our story that is bigger than what we see and feel in front of us, that there is an empty tomb that came after the suffering of the cross, which only happened after he was born and grew as one of us. You need that story to be playing in your head. He's like, well, I know the story. Yeah, but you got a lot of other stories that are vying for your attention and time in the world today. You need the biblical story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seeing that in Scripture. Reading that. Let the Holy Spirit strengthen your faith and strengthen you in the knowledge of God. You're still going to face tombs, but you're going to be able to do it with a stronger faith in the power of Christ, the risen Lord. Now, I want to give a word of counsel on this, and this is free. I'm not going to charge anybody for this. It's my gift to us today, and I need to be reminded of this as well. So, rely on God to teach you, rebuke you, correct you, and train you in righteousness through his Scripture more than you do through devotional writings and teachings of other people. Okay. God has given us the Holy Spirit to speak God's truth to us. God doesn't need someone else's teachings or thoughts on him to speak his word to you. He can use that, but he doesn't need that. In fact, God's primary desire is that he would speak directly to you through his word. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. God can teach you right where you are what he needs you to know. And he doesn't need anyone else to help him do that. He is God. And he's given the Holy Spirit as the great counselor to speak to us. It's our responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit speak, to trust him, and then supplement that with the thoughts and teachings of somebody else. Start with God, and then add on other people's thoughts and ideas about God and the Scriptures and life and the Christian faith. Surround yourself with wise Christians. Surround yourself with wise Christians who can help you remember the power of the cross and the empty tomb, both halves of the story, when you're going through moments where you're facing the tombs in your life, you need people that can speak life into you, if you will. And I use that sort of somewhat loosely, but that can encourage you. And in the midst of your pain, come alongside and just say, I want to pray with you. And I want to encourage you. I want to just remind you what I know you already know. God loves you. He has not forsaken you. Your darkness is not the end. It's just dark. But God is light. And the light of God is with you in the Holy Spirit. Remember what he did at the tomb. Hold on to that. Don't forget that. Remember what. Don't forget in the dark what you knew to be true in the light. This is why having a regular habit of going, reading through Scripture is important, because it teaches you what is true in those times where life is not that bad. So that when you get into the darker times, you're like, I don't know. I don't know, man. God, you've already told me that this is what is true. By your Spirit, help me to hold on to that truth in the darkness, and may that truth be a flickering flame for my faith as I'm facing this tomb in my life. Surround yourselves with people who get that and will pray that with you and will lift you up when you're having your moments. And I like this one. This is good. Praise and ask, right? Like, so praise God regularly for your salvation. Praise him all the time. God, thank you that I am redeemed. Thank you that I am saved. Thank you that I am a part of the kingdom of God. Thank you. I praise you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, you're going, praise God. Thank you so much. Man, I have hope. And you're with me. Thank you. God, you're wonderful. And ask God for help. You know you need him. Ask him for help. Don't be stubborn. Ask God for help. Don't be prideful. Bow before the Lord. Ask him for help. Praise him for his help. And thank him for the help he's already given you, and the help that is yet to come your way, and the help that you may not even grasp that he's provided. And maybe one day you will, or maybe you won't, but either way, thank you, God, that you have helped me. And above all, I would say, man, hold on to Jesus' words that are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, in this world, you will have trouble, but like you're going to have tombs. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Remember the story. There is an empty tomb and a risen Lord. It's going to hurt, but there is hope. You will need help, but there is hope. God has not forsaken you. There are tombs, but there's one resurrection. And it's upon that resurrection that we hang our hat and we say, my hope is in the Lord. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Whew. Hold on. Remember the story. And don't be afraid. Fear not. And as Jesus said to the disciples three times in John chapter 20, I close with these words. Knowing all of this, and wherever you sit or stand today in life, as Jesus said, I say to you, peace be with you. For it truly is in Jesus. Hold on to that. Amen. If our worship team come, and let's continue to worship in song as we are ending our service today. I invite you guys to stand today as we keep on.